Good morning. It's good to be with y'all this morning. This is one of my first times to actually stand before this congregation. But I pray that it's no different than being at home. Because I have found over the years amongst the Printed Baptists, no matter where you go, no matter how far you travel, you walk into a Printed Baptist church house and you walk into home. So with that being said, I don't want to take too much liberty with saying that I'm at home and step out of bounds before I even get started. But the thoughts on my mind this morning, I have been praying God would direct my mind and heart. And if I'm just to be honest with you, my studies of late have been based on a question that was presented to me. And I've done a lot of thinking, a lot of studying. I pray a lot of meditating. And it's not an easy subject to try and approach, to try and preach. Because a lot of people don't want to hear it. I know me, when I was sitting in the congregation, I didn't want to hear it. And so if y'all give me grace, I want to go to the book of Proverbs. The question that was asked to me, and I'll give you a little bit of information. There was some family members sitting around and they were discussing. And they said that they remembered in the scriptures that it said, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And they asked me, he said, where is that scripture? I says, I can't give you an exact place, but I know it's in Proverbs. Do you know you can't find that scripture written that way in the scripture? You notice I called it scripture because everybody quotes it as scripture. But it's not written that way. You have to take like three different verses to come to that conclusion. But it is a true statement. And I know that this, like I said, can be a touchy subject because there are those that say, oh no, I would never spank my sweet little darling. Well, I will tell you, we're all sinners. Above all, we're all sinners saved by grace. And if we did not have correction, if we did not have rules, if we did not have laws, we would have chaos. If you were to just drive down the road, you realize driving here, and I'm not talking about Dallas traffic. That's a whole nother sermon, whole nother subject. But driving here, you took it upon yourself to obey a law. Now, I won't get into speed limit because that gets a little bit personal. But you obeyed a law that you were going to stay on your side of the road. And if you did not obey that, and you just drove where you wanted to drive, I don't know that much of us would want to be out on the road after that. So there is rules and there's regulations, there's laws for a reason. The very first law, the very first commandment that was given was broken. And the commandment was, it says, thou shalt freely eat of all the trees of the garden, but thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was broken. This, brothers and sisters, we need to realize this was a perfect man that broke the commandment of God. And that's a whole nother sermon. I don't want to get into that, but I want to touch on that and move on. And if you look all through the scriptures at every individual, and I'm going to say prominent individual, because we know that Adam's very prominent. He broke the commandment, plunged everyone into sin. We come down, we have Abraham. Well, let's back up. We have Noah. Noah, a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He no more than gets off of the ark and he plants a vineyard. And he gets drunk. I know that maybe, like I said, I may be touching on some sorrow subjects. I'm sorry, I apologize up front, and y'all can take me to the woodshed later. But Noah gets off the ark and he gets drunk. These are prominent men in the scriptures. And then you come down, you have Abraham. Abraham. The Hebrews put more stock in Abraham than they did Christ. Abraham, the father of the faithful. But yet, when his wife spoke to him, said, hey, I can't have a child. Take my handmaid. We'll have a child. They were, even though he was told, look at Abraham's name. Abraham's name alone means father. You think God's going to give you something and tell you that you're going to have something and not give it to you? Hang on to that thought. So Abraham's told you're going to have a child. They rush it. And you go on down, you have Isaac. You have Jacob. I could go on and tell you the stories of these men, how they constantly broke the laws and commandments of God. Primitive Baptist faith is the only one, I feel like the only one's going to give you this. But God, who is faithful, who cannot lie, continues to love his children. You know, and this is something that's hard to grow up with when you're a young man and young men and growing up. You think that when mom and dad discipline you, it's the end of the world. But if you do not receive discipline, and this is scriptural, this is not Brother Kimmy's fable that he's made up. This is scripture. It says that if they do not discipline you, they do not correct you, they don't love you. This is scriptural. Because it says if God chasten not them, they have no part with him. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is a hard book because Proverbs just constantly steps on your toes. And then when it gets tired of stepping on your toes, it just starts kicking you in the shins. But I want to look at the book of Proverbs in the 29th verse and go back to where I was talking about. And in the 29th chapter, 14th verse of Proverbs, it says, the king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. This is one of the scriptures I was telling you about you have to reach out and grab if you're going to get to that, spare the rod and spoil the child. But what comes after this, in my opinion, when I started reading, just opened up a whole floodgate. And for those people that think that the King James Bible needs to be updated because it's falling behind, have not read the scripture faithfully. Because as I read this chapter, I looked at my wife, I says, were they writing about today? And if you read the scriptures, they're always up to date. And I'm going to tell you, they're always on time. And they're always what we stand in need of. But it says, when the wicked are multiplied, transgressions increase, but the righteous shall see their fall. There's one of them that just looked very prevalent to me. When wicked are multiplied, when the wicked come together, what happens? We see part of it taking place in our world today. And I don't want to get, I'm not, this is not political, please. I'm glad this was recorded because I am not being political. But our country needs to be quit worrying about who's sitting in the White House and who is sitting on the white throne. Because the one that's in control is the one we need to be looking to. If we look to the one that's in the white throne, he's going to take care of the one in the White House. And I'm going to move on from there. But we see wickedness constantly rearing its ugly head. People want to argue with each other over that silly fact in politics. I don't care where you stand. I don't care where you're at. Who do you put your faith in? That's what I want to know. Do you put it in a party or do you put it in a God that is risen and lives today and is just as powerful today as he was back then? Do you still believe that Christ is sitting on his throne? Or do you believe that he's went on vacation and we need to get somebody else to help him? Brothers and sisters, we have a king that is still ruling and reigning today. We don't need another one. We don't need another dictator. We don't need somebody else to be put in charge because he's already in charge. When we receive the discipline that we get, it's because of the disobedience that we have put forth. Because He is a faithful Father unto us. He gives us what we stand in need of. And He doesn't give us what we don't need. But the problem is we can't discern between which is which. Because we want these things over here and we're not getting them. So it's God's fault. Do we thank Him when we're on the mountaintop? Or do we only know His name when we're in the valley? Do we only know how to hit our knees when we're at the lowest part? You know, the Bible, the Scripture teaches us He's the lily of the valley. But you know, He's also the rose of Sharon. He is the one that brings you to that mountaintop. Are you on your knees thanking Him when you're at that mountaintop? Are you thanking Him when He gives you the discipline that you stand in need of? Are you thanking Him? Thank you, Lord. I don't say this to honor Him, but it's always in my mind. My dear pastor that's now passed on, I loved him dearly. He was a simple man. He was a farmer. And I loved to hear him preach because he preached like he farmed. Simply. And one of his sermons, and as he was preaching, he said he was working on his tractor and he was getting angry and he was hitting it with a hammer and working on it and he hit his thumb. What do all of us do? You know what he said? Thank you, Lord. I needed that. I think of that on a daily basis. As you can tell, I've got one of those right now. I was telling them young men that were helping me, says, be sure you don't smash your thumb. Don't hurt your hand. And I got angry and I jerked it. And this is what happened. You know what Kimmy said? Thank you, Lord. Our discipline is something that we should be thankful for. We should be thankful that we have parents that care enough to discipline us. We should be thankful that they want to know where we're at every moment of our life. You don't like it. I know you don't. I didn't. But thanks be to God, you have parents that want to know where you are, how you're doing, what's going on in your life. Because they're being faithful parents. You know where they learned that from? They didn't come up with it all by themselves. They got it from right here. Got it from the true Father. You know, I've told everybody for many years that'll listen to me. All these books for dummies, you know, Dr. Spock and all this for dummies, get rid of it. You got the book, one book you need right here. It teaches you how to raise your children. It teaches you how to handle your finances. And I say this with this podium hiding most of this. It teaches you how to diet. It's get everything you stand in need of. You don't need anything else. And you don't need a bunch of commentaries to tell you how to read it and understand it. You need the Scripture. But before you go to the Scripture, you know what the key factor is? Pray. Pray the Lord give you understanding. Because there's going to be times, and this is something that I've witnessed myself, and my wife and I have talked about it. We'll talk about Scripture or something along the week, or something we've been reading, or something that we've heard, and we'll start discussing it, and then next thing you know, Brother Daniel gets up on Sunday morning, and he starts preaching on it. The Lord will give you understanding. The Lord will give you what you stand in need of every time. He's never late. He's always on time. You think He's late because He hasn't given it to you right then and there. Lord, I want patience and I want them right now. The Lord's always on time with His favor, with His love, and with His discipline. And if you go back and look at those ones that I've talked about this morning, God always works. And when it comes and it's done, He's going to be glorified at every turn. I could get you in great detail. Have you really taken time to read the book of Ruth? Brother Daniel's been preaching out of Ruth every once in a while. and I love it. But there is something that's so significant at the back of Ruth. And it's one of those things that everybody likes to skip over. Just go on past it because it's so monotonous. The genealogies. Look at the genealogy in the back of Ruth. It's very significant. It tells you about our Lord's family. When you read the genealogy in Matthew and you read the genealogy in Luke, if you truly read them, they don't match up. You know why? Because they're telling you about our Lord's genealogy, our Lord's family. And He covers the whole family. The Scriptures give us the things we stand in need of. Lord's always providing for His people. They go astray. You know what Ruth tells you? Ruth tells you that there was a illegitimate child that was born. And that child becomes one of the heirs within that genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You go over and you read some more information. And you want to know, why is it so important that they tell us that Lot has that problem with his two daughters? Read Ruth, it'll tell you. It's not going to tell you directly. Remember, I started this out this morning because I tell you that there's scriptures that people quote and scriptures that people hold to that aren't found written directly in the Scripture. But they are contained within the Scripture. I'll give you another example and I'll move on. You won't find the Trinity in the Bible. Not the Word, but you'll find the Trinity in the Bible over and over again. As you come on down, let me get back to this. I'm rambling on. It says in the 17th verse, it says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." You know, the simplistic way that doesn't even come close to explaining this is, how happy are you that you followed the laws and you stayed on your side of the road coming to church this morning? I'm really happy because I made it here. Well, I wasn't driving. She was. Thank be to God. But when you keep the law, you're happy. You know why you're happy? The same reason you were happy when you did things that pleased your natural father. You didn't receive discipline. You didn't receive correction. And you know what happens when you follow the rules and the instructions? Your father's happy. You know, I want to tell you kids something. Maybe you'll believe me, maybe you won't. A true father and mother gets no delight whatsoever out of disciplining you. None. You know, the old saying that we call a lie, "This is going to hurt you more than it hurts me." When I whipped my kids, there was no delight in it. The running statement at my house, I tell my kids, they're all grown now, is it seemed like when they were growing up, my obligation was, as I went to work, I came home, I whipped the kids, I ate supper, I went to bed, I got up and I did it all over again. But when you have your adult kids come to you in later years and they see their friends out in the world and the way they act and the way they hold to things, and they look at you and they say, "Dad, thank you. Thank you for caring enough to whip me. Because I'm glad I'm not like them." I know that seems a little pharisaical, but it tells you, when you correct your children, they're not going to like it at the moment. We don't like it. But it's always going to be in your benefit. It's going to work in your favor. As you grow older, you're going to say, "Well, I may have not deserved it at that time, but there was a time over here I got away with it, and I should have got it." You're always going to get the correction you stand in need of. The Lord is going to take care of His people. You think your natural fathers take care of you? Your heavenly Father does even better. He goes further. Why? Because He knows every thought and intent of every one of your hearts. No matter how small or how great you think you are, He knows every one of your hearts. You can't hide from him. You can run as far and get into the darkest room you think you can find, and you know what? He still knows where you're at. Why? Because you're his. You belong to him. He loves you. He's always watching over you. And in doing so, that means that discipline's going to come. Why? Because we cannot get away from doing what we shouldn't do. You know, it's a tongue twister, and I can't turn to it. I'll try and quote it. And I believe Paul's writing, he says, that I would, I do not. That I would not, that I do. That explains humankind right there. How hard is it to, when you try to do good, that something's always rearing its ugly head and wanting you to do something else? There's always somebody else going, hey, why don't you just come over here? It'll just take a few minutes. Come on. It's always around. But we have a Heavenly Father that loves us with an everlasting love and continues to take care of us. Because if He was a vengeful God, we wouldn't have what we have today. Because He would have gotten rid of Abraham long before now. He'd have gotten rid of David long before now. David, oh, there's another one I didn't even cover. A man after God's own heart. And look at what happens with him. And through his disobedience, we receive Solomon. Solomon, one of the men, smartest men, save Christ, that ever walked the earth. Smart man. In fact, we're reading his book right here. Solomon comes from disobedience. Now, does that mean, am I preaching to you saying we need to be disobedient to make sure that God takes care of us? Scripture tells you against that. It says, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. It's not saying that we do it, but we need to recognize that we are sinners. We need to recognize that we have fallen and continue to fall and stand in need of a Savior. That's what we stand in need of every moment. When you come to church, it's not always going to be the fluff you get to hear. It's going to be some hard things you're going to have to hear sometimes. But you know what them hard times tell you? They tell you that you got a loving Savior that's done it for you. He's paid it all. He's taken care of it. And no matter how far you go, He's still going to be there. No matter how far you fall, He's still going to pick you up. And He is not the God that stands at the edge of the cliff and goes, if you'll just put your hand out, I'll grab you and I'll save you. That's what the denomination world will tell you. He's sitting there waiting for you. He's did all the work. Now He just needs you to do something. No. You who were dead in trespasses and sin. What does that say? It says you were dead. How many people, God forgive me for putting this forth, how many dead people have we ever set before us or have we ever seen during a funeral, set them and go, whoa, hey, I'm ready to go. How about you? Not one of them. Because you were dead in trespasses and sin. And He died for you because you couldn't do it. He's always going to be there taking care of His people. He's always going to be there disciplining His people. Why? Because He loves them. And we can't even come too close to understanding what that love is. The closest we can get, and this is new to me, and if you haven't got there yet, be ready. The closest thing you can come to true love is with a grandchild. I got one more fixing to be here, and I can't wait. Because the first two have been so great. Everything they tell you about grandkids, it's a lie. Because it's so much better. That's the closest you'll get to true love. God's love's more than that. Because He loves me. He loves you. He loves them grandbabies. He loves every object in His affection. And the great thing that God can do is He can be here. He can be at First Church. He can be at Farmersville. He can be at Louisville. And we all can be blessed with His presence. And we can't do that. That's true love. But you know, if we had no discipline in our life, would we understand what love is? I mean, soberly think about that statement for a minute. If we had no discipline, would we know what love is? Brother Kimmy's going to say no. My father, biological father, that has now passed away and gone home, always said, when Dad whips you, you do it. But never once did I ever think my dad whipped me just to whip me or because he hated me. I never once thought it. But I would soberly think, when I would sit down and realize what I'd done, I realized he did it because he loved me. When you come to the understanding of the love of God, then you can understand how love and discipline can coexist together, how they harmonize together. But things of the world will tell you they're two different things. Love and discipline, they can't go together because they see discipline as hate. They see discipline as something that is negative. It can be put that in that direction. When you let sin enter in, discipline can go the wrong way because this is not discipline. I don't care how old you are, this is not discipline. That is hate. But I tell you, my hind end has received a lot of love. A lot of love. I want to, before time gets away, I want to get over to where I need to get in the book of Hebrews and carry on with this. In the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I'm going to start in the 9th verse. It says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. You know what that means, to give them reverence? Respect. Give them understanding that they are in control. This is the hardest thing for young individuals to understand, is that daddy and mama are the law. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. They're the law. And when they give you correction, it's for your benefit. For your benefit. You don't see it that way, but it's for your benefit. And if you can reverence your parents and come to understand that they do this because they love you, how much more should you do that for your Heavenly Father? And I think that's something where we fall short, brothers and sisters. Do we truly understand and do we truly believe that we have a God that corrects us, that chastens us? Or do we just give it to happenstance? Or do we just give it to some other circumstance? Or do we come to understand that He truly disciplines us? Think on that, because what I said before, if He chasten you not, you have no part with Him. So now ask yourself, has God chastened me? And if He has, then I know He loves me. It says here, it says, but He, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Oh, I skipped. Let me back up. I didn't finish that one up there. It says, furthermore, we've had fathers of the flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers, Father of spirits, and live? For they verily, for a few days, chasten us, after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. They said, wait a minute, Brother Kimmy, that scripture right there just says that opposite of what you said. You said, Mom and Dad don't do it for pleasure. It says in the scripture, He says it does it for their own pleasure. You know what our pleasure in it is? Is that our kids grow up to be obedient children, to become obedient adults. That's the pleasure we receive from it. It's not because you're just getting a lot of pleasure out of doing this. It's the pleasure of knowing that your children. I've told my kids, and I still tell them to this day, I says, you can grow up and hate me, and I'll be just fine. As long as you will be a productive, polite, God-fearing individual in society. That's all I care for. And that's where we all should be. We should be looking for God's praise in everything we do. No matter whether we're 6 or 60. We should all be looking for the same thing. It says, now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. Remember what I said? At the time, you sure ain't getting no joy out of it. You sure ain't happy about it. And you sure ain't thinking that mom and dad are doing this because they love you. You sure ain't thinking that they're doing this because they want you to do right. No, they're doing this because they are just being picky. They're just looking for something. They just walk around looking for something to get on to me for. I've heard that a lot. You just look for stuff to get on to me for. No, I look for stuff that you are doing incorrectly. It says, it's not joy. It says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Brothers and sisters, when we receive natural discipline, it gives us understanding. In the scriptures, in Proverbs, it says it gives us wisdom. You may not think that it's giving you wisdom, but I hope and pray that when that discipline does come, you're going, don't do that again. There's some wisdom in that. You learn not to do that again. Brothers and sisters, we should do the same way when our Heavenly Father disciplines us. We should recognize that we are being disciplined, and we should give Him praise, and we should give Him honor, and we should glorify His name, and we should be able to say, thank you, Lord, and grow in wisdom and learning from it. Our society today has pushed all of this as far away from it as it could, because they think that we should let these kids, you know, make their own decisions. Well, brothers and sisters, if you'll look back in the last 5 years or so that they've let kids make their own decisions, how well has it turned out for them? I dare say it hasn't turned out so well. There has been a lot of children gone astray. A lot of children starting to believe things that they shouldn't believe. A lot of children that are holding the things they shouldn't be holding to. That is why we need to have parents that chasten us. That's why we need a Heavenly Father that chastens us to help us understand. We need to hold to these things. The principles and truths that are contained with the Scriptures are where we need to put our foundation. Our foundation doesn't belong on a blue platform or a red platform. It belongs on the white throne. It belongs on the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You want to raise your children to be correct? I tell my daughter this. I said, you know, if you want to teach your children respect, show them some respect. You know, it used to be interesting to me. I've always taught my kids, and it's something that I'm very honored that they do. You meet my kids, they have... If I didn't teach them anything else, they will say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. They'll do it. You know how they learn that? It's because when I spoke to them, whether they were this tall or this tall, I looked at them, I said, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I gave them the understanding that you address everybody. You know, somebody has this fabulous idea that yes, sir, no, sir, belongs to the adults. It doesn't belong to adults. It's a respect thing. If you want your children to grow up respectful, call them yes, sir, no, sir. Because you know what's going to happen when you tell that little boy yes, sir? He's going to go, he called me sir. And he's going to want to act accordingly. Teach your children. You want them to grow up that way? Teach them. Speak to your children the way you want to speak to them. Speak to your wife the way you want your children to speak to their wives. If you constantly talk down to your wife, they're going to grow up to talk down to their wives. because they think that's the way it's supposed to be. They're going to talk down to their mother. Because if you have no respect for your wife, they're not going to respect their mother. I know I may be getting personal here, but this is the truth. This is scriptural, brothers and sisters. If you want to grow in spirit and truth, put it out there. Don't live it on one day a week. Don't live it on Sunday. Don't be the good mom and dad on Sunday and then Monday rolls around and like, okay, let's start again. Here we go. God doesn't work on one day a week. God works all week long. He is a 24/7, 365. Never takes a day off, never goes on vacation. He's always with you. It says, 12th verse, it says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Brothers, sisters, how can we, as children of God, be able to reassure somebody and tell somebody that it's all going to be okay if all we do is go, well, it was the worst day I've ever had. This world is coming to an end. It's all over. And then you see somebody, oh, well, you should be happy, you know. Rejoice in the Lord. He's taking care of it. Is that showing forth that you have that belief in your heart? No. Because you're over there kicking rocks. Getting angry. You know how Brother Kimmy knows this? It's not because he saw y'all do it. It's because he does it all the time. He constantly has to remind himself. Show that forth that you want to receive. Live that life that you want people to live. And it is hard. My wife is going to be the first one to tell you. When if you go ask her after church, does he do that? No. She says, I'm constantly having to get on to him. I'm thankful that I have a wife that tells me that. It causes strife. We argue and fuss and fight over it. But I'm glad I have one that will stand there and fuss and fight with me. One that loves me enough to do so. Because that's the only way, brothers and sisters, we're going to be able to rejoice together. Is whenever somebody's arms are hanging down, lift them up. Somebody's heart's dragging the ground, help them up. This doesn't mean that we need to be busybodies. This doesn't mean we need to be in everybody's business. And I wish they would throw social media out the window. Because all that is a bunch of busybodies. Wanting to know. And I've said this before, and I've probably stepped on some toes or hurt some feelings, but I've told people, I said, I really don't care what you had for supper last night. But they all posted on Facebook. I'm like, good for you. You had Salisbury steak. I had a bologna sandwich. I should have took a picture of it and sent it to you too. I don't even have social media anymore. Because everybody's wanting to be in everybody's business. But it's not the business you need to be in. You know when somebody is most receptive to listen to you? When they come to you. It's not when you go to them going, hey, I saw you've been messing up. Let me tell you how to fix it. I saw you've been having trouble. Let me give you some correction. You know, that's why I love the Primitive Baptist Church. And don't think that I'm sitting up here preaching because y'all need to learn this. But I think we all need to be reminded of it at times. Because in the Primitive Baptist faith, growing up as a young man, I grew up in that Farmersville church. Brother Ronnie will know the names that I could name of the folks that raised me. And I give every one of them credit for raising me. I'm sure he can give a lot of them the same credit. Because they loved me. You know, when I would miss church, Sister Lavelle could whip me harder than anybody else. And she never had a harsh word come out of her mouth. She would put her arm around me and say, sweetie, didn't see you last Sunday. Are you okay? Was there anything wrong? Can I help you somehow? I wish she'd have just beat me and said, why were you out there fishing? You should have been here at church. She didn't say that. I had a whole host of those folks. And that's what we have in the Primitive Baptist faith. And I don't care if you find it at Farmersville. You can find it here. You can find it at First Church. You can find it at most places where there is a true church following the leadership of the Lord. You're going to have love. But there's also going to be discipline. There's also going to be correction. There's going to be things that need to be corrected. You may not want them to be, because I tell you, creatures of habit are hard to change. Well, my daddy did that for years. Well, he did it wrong for all those years. I grew up in a family, had an uncle that was a pastor, that he thought Bible studies were the biggest waste of time. You should never do that. You don't have no right to be doing Bible study. And I couldn't believe it. His own daughter's telling me, well, why are we having Bible study? Why are we not having Bible study? That's my question. Where in the Scriptures does it say that you got to have a specific order to have a Bible study? You know, you got to come in at this time. You got to sit down in this order. No, it doesn't say that. Give me book, chapter, and verse for this right here. But there hardly any minister will get up here without a coat on or without a tie on. There is not one that says you have to wear a coat, you have to wear a tie. You probably wouldn't like it too much. You could come up here and be in overalls. Does it change the man that's preaching to you? No. The scripture you have for that is that you are to put your best forward. That the Lord has blessed you with. I've been blessed to have these. If you'd have known me probably 20 years ago, when my wife and I got together, I used to tell her, if you put me in a tie when I die, I'm going to come back and I'm going to haunt you. Guess what? Things change. Customs change. Habits change. I'm wearing a suit and tie. I never would have thought I wore a suit and tie. But you know why I wear a suit and tie? It's because I feel that I should put my best foot forward when I step up here. That's why Kimmy don't wear overalls up here. I'll wear overalls up at the church to work all the time. But if I'm to come here, I feel like I should put my best foot forward. That's why I wear a suit and tie. I don't have to wear a tie. I don't have to. That's something that man's put together. God's discipline doesn't change. And that's something we need to understand. His laws don't change. His laws are black and white, period. There's no gray area. You go into our court systems today, and they will addendum it to death to make it to where that law is useless. God's laws don't change. He says, if you do, this happens. If you don't, this happens. It doesn't change. He's faithful. And I'm thankful I serve a faithful God that doesn't change. Because if he's not going to change on his law and he's not going to change on his discipline, when he says, you are mine and I am yours, and you're in heaven and there's nothing you can do about it, I'm rejoicing. But if I had one that was wavering, going, oh, well, you know, I said that that's an abomination, but you can go ahead. No, because then he's going to be just as wavering on everything else. Our God is not that way. Our God stands firm and he stands fast. And the chastening that he gives is always in love. You know the difference between God's chastening and our chastening? Ours is done within a sin-cursed body. His is perfect. When God disciplines, it's perfect discipline. There's no malice of any kind whatsoever. There's nothing in his heart but true love for his people. When he gives that to us, we should recognize that we have a Heavenly Father that cares. We should have one that we should rejoice in all that he's given us. So I conclude with this, brothers and sisters. If you get nothing out of my rambling this morning, I pray that you take with you, young and old, that we have a Father in heaven that loves us and disciplines us both. And it's something we should rejoice in. Rejoice in the fact that we have a Father that loves us and disciplines us. Because with those two things, we come to understand what true love is, what true love means. How far will He go? He will go forever. Forever and ever. You know how long forever and ever is? Forever and ever. It goes on forever. That's when His love ends. We lose loved ones, our love stops. Yes, we continue to love them, but then when we're gone, where does the love stop? Our love with our Father never ends. Why? Because He loves us while we're here. And when we close our eyes here, guess where we're at? We're with Him. And He's still loving us. The love we have, we cannot get away from. The love we have in a Father, we can't run from it. But there will be times that we step away of ourselves. You know, when people say, oh, well, I just didn't feel like the Lord was with me. Well, the Lord was with you. You just weren't with Him. Because I can tell you, Brother Kimmy's had a lot of times where he thought like he was all by himself. You know why it was? It's because he wasn't looking to the one he stood in need of. He was looking right here. He was looking within. That's why it was so dark and dreary, because he wasn't looking to the light. Looking to the one that can give him strength, the one that tells him, this is as bad as it's ever going to be. Brothers, sisters, as a child of God, this is as bad as it's ever going to be. This world is going to continue on. And if you sit and worry that your grandchildren and your children are going to have problems, look back at our grandparents. I told my wife this other night. My grandparents grew up in the Depression. My granddad was born in a time when he saw automobiles come about. He saw planes take to the air. He even lived long enough to see cell phones come into the world, God forbid. He saw all that take place. And I'd be willing to make the statement that when he saw all this take place, he's like, this world's coming to an end. It's fixing to be over quick. You know the scripture tells you that we're living in the last days. And Paul wrote it. He said, well, this is the last days. It was the last days. All of this is the last days. It's all going to be over when God says it's over. And every day should be lived as if it's the last day. This is it. And it's the worst it's ever going to be. Because when it's all said and done, we're going to be home. And we're going to be changed into the likeness of the Son of God. What sweeter noise could there be than the saints of God singing in perfect harmony together to one God? This world is going to continue on. And God is going to continue to be with His people, young and old. And He's going to be continuing to prepare them for the day that's to come. My grandkids, I used to fret over my grandkids, what it's going to be like for them. Why should I? Because like I said at the beginning, I just need to worry about who's sitting on the white throne. I need to worry about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's all I need to, because He's got it. Kimmy's hand only goes so far and reaches so little. His reaches forever and ever. As He was with me from the time I was born until the time I die, He'll be with my grandkids the same way. And He's going to be the same faithful God. He's going to be the same powerful God as He was then. And He's just as powerful as when He parted the Red Sea and He brought the children of Israel through it. He's just as powerful when He raised up David to be king. He's just as powerful when He went to the cross and died. And just as powerful when He rose from the grave. He hasn't diminished, and He's not going to diminish. Let us give Him thanks, and let's give Him honor, both in the good times and in the disciplined times. and thank Him for all that we have. Thank Him for the time that we have here. The time that we get to spend here together as a family. Because, brothers and sisters, we are family. Whether you like it or not, you're stuck with me. We're family. We're the family of God. And we should thank our Father for everything we have. I thank You for Your kind attention. Come ahead, brothers.